Reminder, this morning Brent was in John chapter 12, even though he announced it as John chapter 11. We all knew it was John chapter 12. And you remember, what were the 3 points? It was sent from the Father's heart. Jesus sent from the Father's heart, speaks the Father's heart again, and then saves from the Father's heart. Heart, heart, heart. Do you know, sent, speaks, saves. And Brent made the point, you may have heard it, he had a little bit of a preview of the evening sermon where he said that what is being referred to here when Jesus is called the one sent from the Father, when he says that I speak from the Father, the command that he gives me, that John is clearly having Jesus refer to this passage in Deuteronomy 18. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. Deuteronomy 18, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 9, go through verse 22, the end of the chapter, as it's printed in on your sheet there. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination or tells fortunes or interprets omens, or a sorcerer or a charmer or a medium or a necromancer or one who inquires of the dead. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God is driving them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For these nations which you are about to dispossess, listen to fortune tellers and to diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. Amen. Well, some of you are, I imagine that a few of you are aware that there is a high-profile criminal case going on right now in New York. And part of the criminal case, everything having to do with this particular criminal case is going to be reported in every possible way. But we just finished, apparently, the jury selection. And if you listen to any of that, you've heard that while they're weeding out all of these prospective jurors and trying to find something like impartiality, one of the things they're asking is, who do you listen to? What newscast do you listen to? What news feed do you listen to? Newscast. See how old I am? What news feed do you listen to? Who do you follow? Who do you follow on YouTube? What influencer do you listen to? Who are you friends with in that way, in the electronic way? You see, there's an understanding that who you listen to is important and shapes deeply how you think and where you're going to go on this particular case. And it's true in general. This passage is all about that. Who are you listening to? And the implications, the seriousness of it is much, much greater. So we're going to look at this in three sections, and they're all going to start with the sound of the letter H, at least. So the first one is who are you listening to? And as you know, if you spell already, that starts with a W, but it sounds like an H. Who are you listening to? This is verses 9 through 14. It starts out here with the context. This is Moses talking as the prophet, speaking to the people on the behalf of God. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I do a men's Bible study every other Wednesday night, and we do it inductively. And one of the questions that we ask, pretty far down in the list of questions, one of the questions is, what do you have in common with this audience? And that's a question that helps us connect to find, you know, where is this relevant? How do we connect with this? Well, we could ask this question immediately right here and quite easily figure out how we connect. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you. In other words, when you have begun to receive the salvation that is promised, when you've received that salvation, you have it in your possession. At that time, this is what I'm going to tell you. This is my instructions. In other words, for us, when you have begun, when you have tasted the forgiveness and the new life of Christ, and you have begun being raised with him spiritually, you have begun to live in the new creation. You are a new creation in Christ. Now that that's the case, God has some instructions for you. That's how it connects to us. What are those instructions? You shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. You see, we have much more fulfillment than they. When I described the connection, they're just going into the land and we're going into the new creation. We have much more fulfillment than they, but we have this also in common. We possess this salvation in the land that is still populated with those that have that provide the influence and voice of the world to us. We know this, don't we? We live in the world. And then he says, don't learn them by not listening to all these kinds of people. And what follows is a list that, frankly, we're going to find very hard to identify with. Verses 10 and 11. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or his daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination, tells fortunes, interprets omens, a sorcerer, a charmer, a medium, a necromancer, one who inquires of the dead. I don't know how many of you have come across a necromancer in your work. Probably not. The most you know is in maybe a movie or a story like Lord of the Rings, the necromancer is somebody really evil, right? You know that much. A necromancer is somebody who inquires of dead people, brings them up in order to ask them for advice. It's that kind of stuff. Maybe you say, okay, offering sons and daughters in the fire. Well, maybe we could say, well, we live in a culture and in a world that glorifies abortion. And so that's out there, at least as some type of a connection. But by and large, we read this list and we think, are you kidding? There's not much chance that I'm going to be tempted to do any of this stuff. But do you think they would have thought the same thing? Here they are going into this land. Do you think they would have thought, oh yeah, yeah, Moses, I was just about to, thinking the other day, I think I would like to sacrifice my son or daughter in the fire. No way. They didn't think they were going to do this. They didn't anticipate this. This isn't something that they just go in and it happens. So we need to hear the word learn. Learn. Do not learn to do as they do in these nations. Learning is a gradual process. It's not sudden or obvious. It's the proverbial frog. Don't boil a dog in a pot. But the frog boiling in the pot, you know, that proverb, where if you start it off and it's not boiling, but you put the frog in cold water and then slowly heat it up, the frog doesn't jump out because it doesn't know that the water's getting hot until that poor proverbial frog is dead. Don't worry, it's just a proverbial frog. It's not a real frog, those of you who love frogs. It's a slow process learning to be like the nations. I want to add on to this some of the concept that's been discussed in Sunday school, the whole idea of concupiscence, those of you who are in the Sunday school, the whole idea that we develop an unconscious grid in our hearts, in our minds, of interpreting and reacting to the world without consciously thinking about it. We do this kind of thing all the time. Just today, I was in the back after the morning service, and Paul, poor Paul here, was trying to learn how to tie a full Windsor. And who was it? Who was helping?
Ben Green.
Ben Green. Okay, I was wondering, I'm looking around, I couldn't remember who was. So Ben Green was trying to teach him how to do that, and I said, I think I do a half Windsor. How do you do a full Windsor? And we all looked at it and tried to describe it, and I don't know. I can't describe how to tie a tie. I just know that I do it. I've learned to do it, and I do it automatically. Well, we drive that way. We react all the time that way. And we have learned also many sinful reactions. I spent so much time when I worked with Harvest USA trying to help men especially understand how use of pornography over years trains them to automatically think of not just women, but people in an incredibly destructive way. And it's no longer conscious. They're not making these decisions. They act this way because they've learned to see people according to what they've been listening to with their eyes. They learn it. Bible says that all of this corruption really began with listening. Listening to the wrong voice. Do you ever have a tinge of doubt whether God can be trusted? Do you ever have a tinge of doubt whether he's acting in love for you or is a petty killjoy? That's the voice of the serpent that you are recognizing or not recognizing. It's the voice of the serpent you're hearing. It is the original listening mistake of humanity when Adam and Eve listened to that influence and learned to do what was abominable and brought all of the world into this mess. So who are you listening to? First point. Then we get into verses 15 to 19. And this point is hearing from a brother. Hearing from a brother. Verse 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your brothers. So this is the one that you are supposed to listen to. And Brent told me never to have 3 points inside of one of the points, but I kind of have 3 points under this point. And that's okay because in Hebrew schematics, if you have 3 points and the center point has 3 points, it makes the center point even more important. So that's what I'm doing. So about this brother that is the prophet speaking to us. First of all, he's a gentle messenger. A gentle, or you might even say a familial messenger. He's our brother. This is the amazing truth of Christ's humanity. That's why we sang a Christmas song to begin the service, this amazing truth. And the caution here is we must not be offended by Jesus' humanity. We must not be tripped up by that. Remember, even Jesus himself said, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. The principle that he's describing there is when you are so familiar with someone that you know a lot about him or her, and they claim to be something extraordinary, you tend to say, I don't think so. You're just so-and-so. You're just Jesus. We grew up with you. Well, we didn't maybe grow up with Jesus as a boy, but he nevertheless is human like us. He is, even more so, he is now a historical figure. He's a historical figure like Plato or Buddha or George Washington. The subject of historical study. And like any historical figure, many people, and we might learn to think this way, think, well, he's very interesting. Sometimes we can find things that he said or that we think he might have said that maybe would be relevant, but not probably as relevant as a podcast that I listened to yesterday or my favorite YouTube influencer that I watch every day. I'm speaking hypothetically here. You see, a historical person, an historical object of study can easily be all that he is. You've heard of perhaps in decades past this search for the historical Jesus. And produce such things as the Jesus seminar that went through all of the New Testament and picked out, you know, this saying and this saying and this saying and rated them all, gave them different colors based on the probability that the real historical Jesus actually said these things. So they whittled it down to almost nothing in the New Testament that the real historical Jesus would have actually said. You see, because for them, that's all he was another historical figure. We must not make this mistake. We must not make this mistake. He is familiar to us, but we must listen to him because he is also a gracious condescension of God. He's a gracious condescension of God. Why did God do this? Why did God send a prophet like Moses? Well, it says in verse 16, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire anymore, lest I die. It was overwhelming and terrible and terrifying to hear God speak directly. You see, if you would understand what your current condition really is, if you could see your sin, and you could understand what the implication of that sin is in the presence of the one who created you and everything and time itself, if that person, God, ever speaks directly to you, you would be so terrified, you would feel like you're going to die. And God said, they're right. They're right. I am not going to talk to them that way. If you truly understand who and what you are, you cannot handle God unfiltered speaking to you. Think of Isaiah 6. There's a couple instances I'm going to point to where this happened. Isaiah 6, when Isaiah sees the vision of, yes, Christ on the throne, but in his glorified state. And what does he say? I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips and live in a people of unclean lips. He is terrified. But even more than that, what's referred to here? Mount Sinai. They thought they were going to die. They thought it was over. Please, they begged, don't let us hear that anymore. You see, who of you has ever thought, and I've actually thought this, I've thought this in the last week. I wish God would just verbally speak to me. I have a situation, I'm not sure what to do, I wish I had some better wisdom for it, and I wish God would just step in and say, here is what you need to do. You know, how do you do some Hollywood voice or something? And then I imagine that that's about what it would be. But that's not what it would be. Because we know that the one time in history when he spoke most clearly, the reality is that the reaction of the people was not, thank you, we understand now. The reality was terror. Don't, please don't talk to us that way again. We can't survive it. You see, Jesus is not only God's grace to us in that he died and rose again for our sins. He's God's grace that he even came at all. He's God's grace that God would speak in the form of a human like us. That is gracious. That is an accommodation. That is God saying, yes, they are so unholy that they can't handle my presence. So I will speak to them in their form. I will come into their nature and be like them. Incredible grace. But this brother who speaks to us that we hear from also brings a great accountability. A great accountability. Verse 19, whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. Now you want to think, of course, of John 12 and Jesus saying, if you do not accept my words, I do not judge him, but that person has a judge. My words judge him. And I only speak what I was given by the Father. And so it's the Father that judges. He's referring to this and he's saying, I am the prophet with a capital P. And if you don't listen to me, you don't really have to deal with me. You deal with the Father. You see, Jesus is God's voice filtered through humanity, but undiluted. Filtered, but undiluted. I hope that makes sense. Jesus is a prophet with a capital P. If you look at the passage in Deuteronomy, it sounds like it's a prescription for the prophetic office, and it is that. But readers throughout history, even biblical readers, have seen in that a promise that there would be one who would fulfill the prophetic office in a way that was more full, more complete than every other prophet. And so when Jesus walks on the earth, he doesn't just sporadically have the word of the Lord come to him and then he passes it on like the other prophets that we hear in Scripture. He is the word of the Lord. He is the word of God walking. Every time he opens his mouth, we're hearing the Father. Every time he's doing anything, we are seeing the Father. He is the living word of God showing us the Father. This is the Father filtered through humanity, but undiluted, full power. And so the accountability is not diminished. Not only that, as undiluted deity, he sovereignly guided his apostles to, in a trustworthy way, deliver that message, the message of him to us. That's why we can trust this. It's not just words on a paper published by Crossway or whoever, printed with Smith-bound binding and leather, you know, whatever cover, you know. It's not just that. Because these words carry a message that God himself decided to put in human form and deliver to us. God's not going to make a mistake. He's not going to mess it up. If he went through the trouble of giving the prophet with a capital P, he's also going through the trouble to make sure that we have that message recorded to us in a trustworthy way. So that, as Brent said this morning, if you want to hear him, you hear him here. Do not presume upon that kindness. You must listen. There's a great accountability in having that brother that we hear from. The final H, how do we know? How do we know? You know, when we get a text message from somebody, there's a there's an accommodation, so to speak, and it comes up on our phone, and we know who it is because their name comes up and their little picture that they chose to represent them, or whatever, symbol, avatar, whatever you call it. We know who it is. They're speaking to us. But when God chooses to speak to us in the form of one of our brothers, it's not that clear, is it? We might ask, wait, there's no label over him saying, oh, this message is coming from the Almighty God. How do we know that we got the right one? And then Moses brings that up. What about false prophets? God says, you know, there might be people who will claim to be doing this and they won't be doing this. How do we know if we have to listen to someone or not? If God speaks unfiltered, there wouldn't be a doubt. But when he speaks in human form, we could have imposters. The answer is in verse 22. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that word is that the Lord has not spoken. That's a word the Lord's not spoken. Don't be afraid of that person. Now, this may raise some questions in your mind. You think through some of the prophets in the Bible. You might think, well, what about prophets who spoke of things that were far future? Like Isaiah, speaking of things that were far future, speaking of the birth of Christ to the people that he was in the presence of. They didn't see that come true. And yet I would say there's an understanding of prophecy that it includes horizons that are well beyond the speakers. That's understood. Or we might say, what about prophets that announce impending judgment? And then because of repentance, that judgment is averted. Jonah, okay, he goes into Nineveh. 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. On day 41, Jonah is looking pretty sad because it's not destroyed. Maybe he's thinking of this passage. Maybe he's thinking, they're going to think I'm a false prophet. Yet I would say it's understood in prophecy that an announcement of judgment is an invitation to repentance, and that repentance would avert that judgment. So we might have questions like this. We might wonder, how are we going to apply all this, Lord? How are we going to figure out exactly what you mean? Well, let me make it simple. I think what you should hear God saying here is this. He's saying, don't worry. I will not leave that prophet unverifiable. He will speak of verifiable things. If they vindicate him, then he's vindicated. If they do not, then they do not. And the reason I think that helps us is because this verification principle is never truer than with Jesus. Jesus spoke verifiably. He spoke of extraordinary things. He claimed to be able to do extraordinary things, and he did them. Just from the book of John, here's some highlights. You have had 5 husbands. The one you now have is not your husband. So he's claiming a lot. He's claiming to know a lot. What was her reaction to that? Her reaction was, I know that Messiah is coming and he will tell us all things. Who's she referring to? She's referring to Deuteronomy. She's referring to the prophet who will tell them everything that God has commanded them. I know he's coming. She's saying, what you just said, are you? And his response, I am. She went into the town and said, what? Come and I will show you a man who told me everything I ever did. A little bit later, Jesus says, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. Remember the context here. He's telling his disciples, take these 5 loaves and 2 fishes, feed them to these thousands of people, and then I want you to go and I want you to pick up the leftovers. This is verifiable. This is crazy. leftovers? We had five loaves and two fish. You want us to pick up leftovers? He said to do it. I guess we'll do it. And they did it. And they got 12 basketfuls of leftovers, if I have the specifics of my story right. The point is the same. What is the reaction to that? John 6:14. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, get this, this is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world. All the people that saw that, they knew what it meant. They said, this, we just saw the verification of God, of his prophet, with a capital P. There he is. John 6:14 already. And as we go forward, he starts prophesying his own death and resurrection, how he would die and how he would rise. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority. Again, you will know that I am he. Is he saying that everyone who does that will know? I think he's saying, when I've done this and I'm verified, you will know that I'm the one that God said would be verified. Then you will know that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. He's referring to himself as the prophet. And later he says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. That's extraordinary. If you're going to say something like that, you better deliver. He said, your brother will rise again. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the most verified prophet ever. No prophet ever said, this is how you're going to kill me, and I am going to die, and I am going to rise again, and this is all for your forgiveness and eternal life. He said it, and he did it. This doesn't just verify his message, because his message was that I'm saying this and I'm going to do it, and it's going to have saving power for you, that you will trust in me and I will give you that eternal life. That's why he says in John 12, the Father has given me a message, and that message is eternal life. Will you listen? Will you listen to this prophet? He also said in Matthew, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So the choice is, either we are constantly learning from the world around that does not know him, learning imperceptibly to think in ways that will lead us to abominable things, or we are learning from Christ, learning from our gentle and lowly Savior to be like him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for taking on our nature, for condescending graciously to become a brother of ours. Lord, we are not offended at that, but we worship you, and we want, by your Spirit, we want to hear of you. We want to learn from you. We need to learn from you. I pray that you would give that to us. In your name we pray. Amen.